watch against the beginnings of a neglect of the duty of sacred prayer. Persons who have for a time practiced this duty and afterwards neglect it commonly leave it off by degrees. While their convictions and religious affections last, they are very constant in their closets, and no worldly business or company or diversion hinders them. But as their convictions and affections begin to die away, they begin to find excuses to neglect it sometimes. They are now so hurried. They have now such and such things to attend to. Or there are now such inconveniences in the way that they persuade themselves that they may excusably omit it for this time. Afterwards, it pretty frequently so happens that they have something to hinder, something which they call a just excuse. After a while, a less thing becomes a sufficient excuse than was allowed to be such at first. Thus, the hypocrite by degrees contracts more and more of an habit of neglecting prayer, and becomes more and more indisposed to it. And even when he does perform it, it is in such a dull, poor, heartless, miserable manner that he says to himself he might as well not do it at all as do it like this. So, he makes his own dullness and indisposition an excuse for wholly neglecting it, or at least for living in a great measure in the neglect of it. After this manner, does Satan and men's own corruptions inveigle them to their ruin. Therefore, beware the first beginnings of a neglect of secret prayer. Watch against temptations to it. Take heed how you begin to allow of excuses. Be watchful to keep up the duty and the height of it. Let it not so much as begin to sink. For when you give way, though it be but a little, it is like giving way to an enemy in the field of battle. The first beginning of a retreat greatly encourages the enemy and weakens the retreating soldiers. Let me direct you to forsake all such practices as you find by experience and dispose you to the duty of secret prayer. Examine the things in which you have allowed yourselves and inquire whether they have had this effect. You are able to look over your past behavior and may doubtless, on an impartial consideration, make a judgment of the practices and courses in which you have allowed yourselves. Particularly, let young people examine their manner of company keeping, and the round of diversions in which, with their companions, they allow themselves. I only desire that you would ask, at the mouth of your own consciences, what has been the effect of these things with respect to your attendance on the duty of secret prayer? Have you not found that such practices have tended to the neglect of this duty? Have you not found that after them you have been more indisposed to it and less conscientious and careful to attend it? Yea, have they not from time to time actually been the means of your neglecting it? If you cannot deny that this is really the case, and if you seek the good of your souls, forsake these practices, whatever you may plead for them, is that there is no hurt in them, or that there is a time for all things and the like. Yet if you find this hurt and the consequences of them, it is time for you to forsake them. And if you value heaven more than a little worldly diversion, if you set an higher price on eternal glory than on a dance or a song, you will forsake them, if these things be lawful in themselves. Yet if your experiences show that they are attended with such a consequence as I have now mentioned, that is enough. It is lawful in itself for you to enjoy your right hand and your right eye. But if by experience you find they cause you to offend, it is time for you to cut off the one and pluck out the other, as you would rather go to heaven without them than to go to hell with them, into that place of torment where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.